Well, I come to the pulpit this morning with mixed emotions because this has been a helpful series for me. The idea that we can draw near has been a good reminder for me. Because so often we get so busy in our lives, we're running and going and doing, and you know, we'll pray when we need something, but until we need something, it feels like we got other more important things to do. And draw near has been an opportunity for me to slow down a little bit and remind myself that prayer is not really about giving God a shopping list of things to do as much as it is connecting with Him. Prayer is really about that relationship with Him. And so James tells us, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And so this has been a meaningful time for me over these last few weeks. I hope it has for you. So I have some mixed feelings. It's been a good time, but I hate to see it come to an end. We are concluding the Sunday morning portion of Draw Near. I hope you'll continue with the with the devotional guide throughout the rest of the 40 days. So that's going to end on Thursday. But for now, I want us to conclude our Sunday morning portion of it by thinking about how we can keep drawing near. Draw near is such an important reminder that prayer is relational. But it's not just a 40-day experience. We want what we've done so far over these 40 days, almost 40 days, we want what we've done so far to not be something nice we can look back on, but to be a beginning, a starting place, so that we can continue to draw near. I want us to look in Luke chapter 18, if you have your copy of Scripture with you. We're going to look at a story that's pretty familiar, I'm sure. Those of you who were here on Wednesday, we already looked at this to some degree, and so it'll be familiar to you. In Luke chapter 18, Luke does us a favor. Sometimes we hear parables and we're not quite sure exactly what Jesus was saying with the parable. So we have to really dig in and do some good contextual research to find out what Jesus meant in the parable. In this parable, it is unique because this is the only time in the Gospels where the gospel writer tells us the point of the story before he tells us the story. Luke wanted to make sure that we get this one, that we don't have to misunderstand it or misapply it. We don't have to spend a whole lot of time figuring out. He tells us right up front, Jesus told a story, and this is what the story means. Look in 18 verse 1. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. The point of the story that he's about to tell is that we should always continue to pray and not lose heart, that we should keep drawing near. With that in mind, we can understand the story better. And so let's look at that story beginning in verse 2. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" First, I want you to notice with me this morning that we're to keep praying because delay is not denial. Keep on praying. Even when God doesn't jump when you thought he was going to jump, when he doesn't respond immediately, when you can't see all that he's doing, You continue to pray because delay is not denial. Just the fact that you can't see him responding doesn't mean that he's not working. In this story, the widow has no standing. She is in a different culture, in a different time. She is, by the fact that she's a woman, she's not allowed to interact with a judge about legal matters. She is not allowed to conduct business. And the fact that she now is not just a woman, but now also widowed, means that she lost the one who was to be her voice. Remember, this is a whole different culture. It's a whole different world than the one in which we live. But in that day, in that area, the widow would have had no standing before a judge. And so what does she do? She shows up anyway. And a judge says, "Go away." And she stays. He says, "I'm watching Wheel of Fortune. Leave me alone." He tries to go on with his dinner. And she won't give up. So this judge finally says, "Okay, just to make her go away, I will hear her." Now, the point of the story is not that God is the judge. That's why Luke told us ahead of time what to understand from this story. Because if we make it an allegory where every issue, every person, every piece of information must represent something, if we do that, we misinterpret it for this important reason. The judge does not represent God. In fact, he represents the opposite of God. Because the point of the story is, if this unrighteous judge, who by his own testimony does not fear God and does not respect man, if even he would give in to hear her because of her persistence, how much more then would our loving Heavenly Father, who really does care about us, who really is good, how much more would he listen when we are persistent? The judge represents the opposite of who God really is. And so when we look at the story, we're motivated to keep praying because delay is not denial. The fact that God doesn't answer yet doesn't necessarily mean that he has turned his back on us or that even he has said no yet. We keep knocking because his delay doesn't mean that we've been rejected. In fact, I would suggest to us that many times the reason there is a delay, many times there's a reason that he doesn't respond immediately in a way that we understand, is because prayer is about relationship. It's not about a shopping list. And what happens then as we continue in prayer, we stay persistent. What we're doing is we're focusing on the relationship. We're saying, "God, even if you don't answer in a way that I understand, I still believe you. I still know you're here. I still know you're good." We keep praying because delay is not denial, and we keep connecting with him. We continue to draw near. In some cases, that may mean that whatever you're praying for, you stay connected to him and you keep asking for weeks. Maybe it's months. Some of you have been asking the same prayer for years. And I say to you this morning, keep asking. You keep praying. You stay persistent because God is good. And your prayer is saying to him, I don't believe in you just because you do what I ask. I believe in you because you are God. And I'm going to keep on asking, and I'm going to keep on believing. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes a beautiful statement in Matthew 7 at verse 7. Jesus says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. And that is beautiful in English. That's awesome. Man, that's a promise. That's incredible that we can pray to our Father and our Father will respond. Ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open. But it's even more beautiful. In the early service, I said it's beautifuler. It's even more beautifuler in the Greek. Because in the Greek, those verbs show continuous action. So what it literally means is keep on asking and it'll be given to you. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking. It is in that persistence that we demonstrate true faith. That I'm not just turning to God and say, God, give me something. Okay, I got it. Thank you. But it is, God, you're God no matter what's going on in my life. And because you're God, I'm going to trust you. And I'm just going to keep on asking and keep on trusting, keep on depending. Jesus says, keep on asking and it'll be given to you. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking and it'll be open to you. Keep praying because delay is not denial. And then I would say to you this morning to keep trusting because God moves on his timeline, not yours. If we finish the story, we could pick it up at verse 6. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? The unrighteous judge said, I don't fear God, I don't respect man, but I'll do what she wants just to shut her up. And Jesus says, but look at how God responds, not like the unrighteous judge, but will God not give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? You hear the continuation? You cry to him day and night. It's not just a flyby. You don't just run through and say, hey, God, bless me, and on your way. It is, I'm going to continue to seek you until I find you. I'm going to keep asking until I get an answer one way or the other. I'm going to continue to stay with it and keep knocking until you show me the way to go. He says, God is willing, able to give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Will he delay long? This says he'll give it to us speedily. And sometimes we think, well, wait a minute, I didn't get my answer very fast. This says he won't delay, that he'll do it speedily. Remember that God moves on his timeline, not yours. We can only understand a little bit of what life really is all about. Toward the end of the winter, you can look out on a field or even in your own yard, you can look across and see that everything looks dead. Toward the end of winter, everything's gray and dark and brown and It's not moving, it's not growing, it just looks dead. But what you can't see is that under the surface there are those seeds that are beginning to do what seeds do. And there is growth beginning. It is happening. It's under the sea, under the surface, so you don't see it. But come early spring, that winter death brings that spring life, and then we can finally begin to see what's been happening under the surface all along. You see, keep trusting because God moves on His timeline, not yours. You can't see everything that's happening under the surface. And so you keep trusting. This is how we live out, draw near. Draw was our framework for prayer. We said that we could learn to delight in the Lord, to repent and be restored, to ask in faith, and then walk with the Lord. This is how we live out the W. This is how we walk with the Lord. We stay with Him. We keep praying. We keep trusting, knowing that He's at work even before we can see it. This is what it is to draw near. This morning, I'm glad that we get to have the Lord's Supper together because it too is a way that we draw near. In many traditions, perhaps you grew up in a tradition that called this communion. And I think that's a great word. I actually kind of wish we used that word more often in our tradition. It is communion. It is communing, connecting with the Lord. It is the way that we remember what Jesus did for us and we remember the whole point of the gospel. It is a way that we draw near. And the promise from James is draw near to God and He will draw near to you.